Who are the eligible lending institutions? Scheduled commercial banks, your select regional rural banks, your National Small Industries Corporation Limited, your Northeastern Development Finance Corporation Limited, and of course, SIDBI, one of the main contributors to the scheme. What is the eligible credit facility? Both term loan and working capital facility. This is what the limit I was telling, up to maximum of rupees 100 lakhs per borrowing unit, extended without collateral security. If any security is taken, no insurance. So extended without any collateral security. Even guarantees should not be taken. So even third party guarantee to the new, and this is the very important criteria, to the new or existing micro and small enterprises. So this specific entities will be eligible for claiming this credit facility from various entities as shown in the previous slide, and that's how a very important partnership is happening between these entities and the MSME enterprises. What's the guarantee cover? The guarantee cover available under the scheme is up to the extent of 75%. So up to 75% of the sanctioned amount of the credit facility, this corporation will extend the reimbursement if at all the loan goes failure. The extent of the guarantee cover is 80%, unlike your other cover, and this is specifically for micro enterprises for loans up to rupees 5 lakhs. MS is operated and are owned by women, and all loans in the Northeast region. So this specific sector gets an extent of cover, guarantee cover up to 80%, whereas all others get a guarantee cover up to 75%. What's the tenure of guarantee? The guarantee cover under this scheme is for the agreed tenure of the term loan, composite credit. What happens in case of a working capital loan? In case of working capital, the guarantee cover is 5 years or the block of 5 years, because these 5 years are enough for getting the working capital into a finished product. So this guarantee cover for working capital is up to 5 years. Who pays the fee for the guarantee? We have seen in case of deposits, the financial institution has to bear the premium. In case of credit facilities, a one-time guarantee fee of 1.5% of an annual service of 0.7% on the credit facilities sanctioned has to be paid to the corporation. So this is fixed. For loan up to rupees 5 lakhs, the one-time guarantee fee and annual service fee of 1% and 0.5% respectively. Further, for loans in the Northeastern region, the one-time guarantee fee is only 0.75. Okay, fine. So we come to know what are the charges or what are the fees to be paid, but our question remains unanswered. Who is going to pay? We will see that. The discretion is left to the member lending institutions. If the member lending institution feels that they should bear like the fees paid to the DICGC, they can pay, but they have been given an option. Public sector banks are encouraged to absorb the annual service fee in excess of your 0.25% for all the borrowers. So it means that a small part of the fee is recovered from the borrowers. How is the claim settled? Prior to the lender preferring any claim on the trust, There shall be a lock-in period of 18 months from either the date of last disbursement of loan to the borrower or the date of guarantee cover coming into force in respect of the credit facility. The lender shall, however, prefer a claim on the defaulted account which has become NPA immediately after recall of loan and initiation of recovery proceedings by way of legal action as specified by the trust from time to time. So the lender shall prefer a claim on the defaulted account, which means that account has become an NPA. Immediately a recall of loan will take place, and initiation of the recovery proceedings, it can be a form of legal suit, it can be a form of any other legal action which is specified by the trust from time to time. So it's very important that prior to lender preferring any claim on the trust, there shall be a lock-in period, so before which a claim may not be entertained, from either the date of last disbursement of loan in the borrower or date of guarantee cover coming into force in respect of the particular credit facility, and secondly, whatever initiations of recovery proceedings of legal action should be taken as provided by the trust. What is the amount of settlement? We have seen the trust shall honor 75% of the guaranteed portion in default, subject to a maximum of 75% of the guaranteed cap, 85% for select category of borrowers, immediately on preferring of claim by the lender. What happens to the balance 25%? The balance 25% of the default or the guaranteed cap, as the case may be, will be paid on conclusion of recovery proceedings by the lender. That's how we complete with our most important sector, which is the CGT MSE. Having said that, we have seen two different corporations playing an important role, the DICGC for boosting the investor confidence for bringing in the savings to the bank, and the CGT MSE is encouraging the financial institutions to give a collateral free advance up to 100 lakh limits, and for which it can fall back on the corporation or the trust to claim the losses that has happened because of non-recovery or the account turning into a non-performing asset. Now it's the time to go to the next credit guarantee institution, which is the Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of India Limited. Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of India, from the name itself, we can guess which sector will be getting a sort of guarantee from this corporation. No guesses required. It simply means this corporation is going to provide guarantee for all the credits that are given or for loans given for the export sector. Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of India again is a Government of India enterprise which provides export insurance facilities to exporters and the banks in India, both exporters as well as the banks in India. It functions under the administrative control of Ministry of Commerce and Industry and is managed by a board of directors comprising representatives of the government, your Reserve Bank of India, your banking sector, your insurance sector, as well as your exporting community. So all important entities of the commerce of the exporting field form a part of the board so that they really understand what are the requirements of the exporters and how to cover the risk and encourage the exporter to do their business free of risk or free of worries. How did the birth of ECGC happen? The need for export promotion had started immediately after independence, because we had seen post-independence our economy was in shatters. Lots of fire plannings were implemented, but that is not going to generate the foreign income, the foreign currency. Hence, India desperately wanted to export. So the need for export was definitely felt from 1947 itself. After accepting, again, there was a committee who recommended that some sort of institution has to be established, specifically favoring the exports, and that committee was the Kapur Committee. Government of India had set up the Export Risk Insurance Corporation, ERIC, in the year 1957 on the basis of recommendations of Kapur Committee. But we are talking about ECGC. What is this ERIC? Let's see what is this. After introduction of insurance cover to banks during the period 1960 to 64, ERIC's name was changed to Export Credit and Guarantee Corporation Limited in the year 1964. So the first name of this corporation was Export Risk Insurance Corporation, which was subsequently changed to Export Credit and Guarantee Corporation in the year 1964. To bring the Indian identity in the name, ECGC was renamed as Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of India. So ECGC was Indianized by renaming it as Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of India, and that happened in the year 1983. What's the vision of ECGC? The vision of Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of India is to excel in providing export credit insurance. Export credit insurance and trade-related activities. So your export credit insurance and trade-related activities form an important component of the vision of the ECGC. What's the mission? The mission of ECGC is to support the Indian export industry, support the Indian export industry. How? By providing cost-effective insurance and trade-related services to meet the growing needs of Indian export market by optimal utilization of available resources. So this is very important. What it says is it provides cost-effective insurance. Cost-effective means not costly insurance. For what purpose? For trade-related activities. And what does that do? It meets the growing needs of Indian export market, and that is how they can optimally utilize the available resources, convert them into export products and services, and that's how they generate the foreign currency for our Indian economy. What are the objectives? To encourage and facilitate globalization of India's trade, so our products and services can reach every nook and corner of the world. To assist Indian exporters to manage their credit risk by providing timely information. So ECGC is also a very important research group. It provides timely information to our Indian exporters to take care of the risk. To protect the Indian exporters against unforeseen losses. These foreseen losses can come from the country. These foreseen losses can come from the customer behavior and lots of other factors. So ECGC guides the exporters on this factor also. To facilitate availability of adequate bank finance to the Indian exporters. Indian banks or any banks will not advance any risk loans if it is not insured. And if ECGC is ready to provide a cost-effective insurance cover, then that encourages the bank to provide finance to our exporters, and that's how they can start their exporting activities. To achieve improved performance in terms of profitability, if you get a good finance, a cheaper insurance, definitely your profitability will increase. Financial and operational efficiency indicators will also grow because of favorable finance and resources. In addition to this, it also educates the customer by continuous publicity and effective marketing. So this continuous publicity and effective marketing makes or enlightens each and every exporter from any part of our country to avail such facilities and contribute their efforts to increasing the exports of our country, which is very essential for improving our current account deficit. What schemes are covered under ECGC? ECGC covers are broadly divided into four groups. They are standard policies, specific policies, special schemes, and finally the financial guarantees. How are they different? Let's see how. Let's start up with the standard policies. In standard policies, policies are issued to exporters to protect against payment risk involved, more specifically on short-term credit. So standard policy are specifically meant for your short-term credit, further classified into turnover-based and exposure-based. So turnover-based will include the quantitative aspect, the exposure-based will include your qualitative aspect. Exporters whose anticipated export turnover for the next 12 months is more than 50 lakhs, then what happens? You have something called shipments comprehensive risk policy, commonly known as a standard policy, is the one ideally suited to cover risk in respect of goods exported on short-term credit, that is credit not exceeding 180 days. So if your credit, export credit, is not exceeding 180 days, then it will be termed as a short-term credit, and the most appropriate policy issued by the corporation will be a standard policy. What does this policy do? This policy covers both your commercial as well as political risk from the date of shipment. What are commercial risk and political risk? We will be seeing it shortly. The risk covered under the standard policy, as I said in the previous slide, are commercial risk and political risk. Your commercial risk can be further classified into risk covered on the overseas buyers and risk covered on the letter of credit opening banks. So based on the buyers and based on the letter of credit opening banks, the commercial risk have been segregated. Let's see the first one, risk covered on the overseas buyers. It includes insolvency of the buyer. What happens if the buyer becomes bankrupt? Failure of the buyer to make the payment due within a specified period. Normally, the specified period is considered as 4 months from the due date. Buyer's failure to accept the goods, he feels the goods are inferior in quality, so he refuses to accept, subject to certain conditions. So in all these cases, your commercial risks are covered in your standard policies. So here your ECGC takes care of making good the loss. Risk covered in your letter of credit opening banks. What happens in that case? Like a buyer, your bank can also become insolvent. It can also have a failure of complying with the letter of credit conditions. Recently, this has been seen in the European banks. The opening bank fails to make the payment due within a specified period. And finally, the insolvency of the letter of credit opening bank. So, commercial risk comprises of this. What are the political risk? Your political risk means anything which is shown on the slide. Number one, imposition of restriction by the government of the buyer's country that delay the payment. We have seen this also in some of the European countries. The government has straightaway issued directions not to deal with the country, in which case the buyer won't be able to pay. So it's a big political risk. Sudden war or civil disturbances in the buyer's country or cancellation of a valid import license also amounts to a political risk. Interruption or diversion of voyage outside India resulting in payment of additional freight. Suddenly some weather conditions erupt and the freight charges becomes costly. Again, a political risk. Or the insurance charges which cannot be recovered from the buyer. Buyer may not be able to bear that or will refuse to bear. Now recently the rupee value rocketed the sky. Lots of additional amount was to be paid by the importer. So similar conditions amounts to political risk, specifically when some of these conditions are applicable. Any other cause of loss occurring outside India, not normally insured by general insurance and beyond the control of both the exporter as well as the buyer, will also be considered as political risk. Standard policies do not cover what? Risk relating to the commercial disputes. Sorry, commercial disputes won't be entered in under standard policies. Causes inherent in the nature of goods not covered. Buyer's failure to obtain necessary cover to import or exchange the authorization from authorities in his country. Insolvency or default of any agent of the exporter or commercial bank. Loss or damage to the goods that can be covered by commercial insurers and exchange fluctuations. Why do you require this corporation when there are commercial insurers? So such risk won't be covered in your standard policies. There is something called small exporters policy also. The appropriate policy for exporters with an anticipated turnover of 50 lakhs or less is termed as small exporters policy. It is issued for a period of 12 months as against 24 months in the case of a standard policy. The premium payable will be determined on the basis of projected exports or on an annual basis subject. Now we move on to the second type of policy, which is a specific policy. It is specifically designed to protect the Indian firms against payment risk involved in, please note this is important, this risk is involved in specific shipment of contracts such as number one, exports on deferred terms of payment. The payment will come in different slots. One of the main requirement for getting a specific policy. Services rendered to foreign parties. Construction work and the turnkey projects undertaken abroad, which are generally of a longer tenure, unlike your short term. So all these conditions will attract a specific policy. Then the third type of policy, the special schemes, what are they? Transfer guarantees meant to protect the banks which add the confirmation to the letter of credit opened by foreign banks. So such type of special schemes can be provided by your ECGC. Insurance cover for buyer's credit will also form a special scheme. Overseas investment insurance, exchange fluctuation risk insurance, and your customer specific covers will comprise your special schemes issued by ECGC. Finally, the fourth type of guarantees issued by ECGC or the cover provided by ECGC are the financial guarantees. Financial guarantees are issued to banks to protect them from risk of loss involved in their extending the financial support to exporters at what stage? At pre-shipment as well as post-shipment stages. So whether it's a pre-shipment or post-shipment, banks can be provided financial guarantees to protect them from risk of loss involved in extending financial assistance specifically to the exporters. The guarantees are designed to encourage bank. Please note, these guarantees are designed to encourage banks, to give adequate credit and other facilities for the exporters. So all the hurdles in front of the exporter stands vanished, and they can do confident exports by taking adequate finance from the banks. Banks wholeheartedly will extend this finance specifically for exporters because ECGC is going to provide various types of policies, maybe a standard policy, maybe a specific policy, maybe a special scheme, or even a financial guarantee. So how do we conclude ECGC? ECGC has paid out huge claims to the Indian exporters and the financing banks during our recent financial year 2012-2013 in the wake of continuing global economic recession and uncertainties. The organization is IEEE. What does that mean? It's a rating given by ICRA, which denotes highest claim paying ability. Wonderful ability. So banks can rely upon ECGC for giving any sort of export facility to our exporters. The corporation was able to meet the expectations of its customers, which are the banks, as well as its stakeholders, which is the government. The role of ECGC, the National Export and Credit Insurance of India, continues to be very important and crucial also, as exporting without a suitable credit insurance is fraught with huge financial and business risk. So here is a strongest protection coming in the form of ECGC, and that's how our exports are growing at its own pace and definitely trying to improve the current account deficit, which is the need of the hour in today's context. That's the end of this chapter. Thank you very much.